All right, we're back. We are back with some of the worst, the cheapest recorded audio in the history of audio recording. I have zero equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Sterling Dan Moran edition of the House Money Sports Podcast. I am Wolfman J. And cheap audio equipment will not stop us from bringing to you a Sterling Dan rendition. Wow, what a weekend. What a weekend for me personally. Pretty eventful. But then also in the world of sports and entertainment, what a weekend. A lot going on, and there's a lot to get to. So I won't spend too much time rambling about cities that I've been to that I, you know, may or may not have caused some debauchery in, like I did last week. But I will say this. The highlight of my weekend was absolutely obliterating some golf balls, courtesy of the barrel of my Demarini softball bat. That was a good time. And if you've never done that, there's really not too many better feelings in the world than destroying golf balls with a metal bat. And so if you've never done it, I suggest that you carve out about 10 minutes in your week or your weekend and you do that because it's absolutely invigorating. But let's get right into it. So in case you live under a rock, you know, or you live maybe, you know, in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area, then you know that the story of the weekend was the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby. And if you think about it, you know, quick math, you know, and this isn't just a pretty face here, but quick math, that 145 years goes back to the 1800s. That's a long time. That's a long time to be running a race annually. This year was the first year that the horse that didn't cross the finish line first wasn't crowned the champion. So we got a lot of controversy this year. We got some controversy. Maximum Security, who a lot of people had as the favorite coming into this race, right? And he got out to swampy track. It rained all day. And, you know, he did get out to the lead and he looked like the best horse in the race. You know, I'll start with that. He looked like the best horse in the race. And he got out to the big lead, you know. But then some other horses started to close in. And full disclosure, I didn't know there were any races or any rules in horse racing. I didn't even know there were any rules. Like, apparently rubbing isn't racing in the world of horses. Like, I thought, honestly, anything short of like the jockey maybe hitting the other jockey with his whip, maybe whipping the other jockey, I thought maybe that was illegal. But outside of that, I thought it was no holds barred. You know, I thought you had to run as fast as you can. And if you had to, you know, maybe cut another horse off, I thought that was just his bad luck, you know. But apparently you have to stay in your lane and you can't drift into another horse's lane or that's, you know, or they'll disqualify your ass. And that's exactly what Maximum Security did. So he ass twerked. He put his ass right on another horse's nose that was closing in to the right. And he did it. You know what I mean? And that happened. And he almost caused like an 8-horse pileup. Like, I thought I would, like, looking back at the replay, it was hard to see it real time. But if you look back, like, you know, we almost saw some, you know, some, you know, whatever. Where are the most, like, the Panesian fellas, some little miniature Panesian men on the glade. It was almost a bunch of carnage on the track. Let's put it that way. On the swampy track, we almost saw some bloodshed. It was almost a 10-horse pileup. And so Maximum Security won it, but they awarded the win to the horse that finished second, Country Houses. Big deal, right? It's a big deal for the owners and all that stuff. You know, good for them. But then the people that had these tickets, that put money on these horses, like, I don't know, man. The Twitter reactions were glorious. The live reactions were glorious. Like, you had the guys that ready to cash the Maximum Security ticket, because as soon as he crossed the line, nobody knew that there was a chance that he could be disqualified. Like, you couldn't see it real time. It was hard, you know, nobody knew. But then when it was under review and all that stuff, you had, you know, they were sitting there standing in line waiting to cash that ticket, you know, ready to party, maybe get some strippers, you know. And then you have you know, the pendulum swing when he gets disqualified, and you got all these country house tickets over here, 65-1 odds. You know, they're gleeful. You know, they're joy. Custard for everyone in that situation, right? And, you know, the maximum security ticket owners, you know, they probably had some, you know, they probably had some tension in the household that night between them and their spouse. You know, some angry people, you know, probably had a little bit of an attitude. Might have had a little bit of an attitude problem that night. And, you know, opposite for the country house people, you know, they were probably joyful. You know, 9 months from today, you know, 9 months from Saturday, we might be seeing some, you know, a little boom, a little spike in the population, if you know what I'm saying. You know, we might see a little spike in the population, and we might have some country house babies running around out there. But listen, excited, you know, I mean, it wasn't the most exciting race, but, you know, considering, you know, all everything that happened, you know, it was, you know, there was a lot of drama. There was a lot of drama. I picked Code of Honor to win it. He had the inside track there. You know, I thought that he was gonna, and he had all that room too, because when Maximum Security was leading a race, you know, Code of Honor was coming on. And then when Maximum Security, like, almost took out half of the field, when he swerved, you know, when he ass twerked right in that other horse's face, you know, Code of Honor had like 14 feet on either side of him to make his move. I thought he was going to kick it into that next gear and take the race, but he just kind of, you know, he never kicked it into that other gear. And he ended up getting second, but, you know, he ended up technically finishing third, but he ended up getting awarded second place. And it was really cool for me though, because on Twitter, you know, I was shouting him out and I was giving, you know, I was paying my respects to Code of Honor. I said that he was probably going to win, and the Code of Honor Twitter account followed me and started liking my shit. So that was exciting. I was all in. I was definitely all in there. But I was looking forward to the Preakness race, the next race, because I thought it was going to be intense. You know what I mean? I thought there was going to be some bad blood. I thought maybe we could see a jockey fight. You know, I thought maybe we could see a little miniature man fight there on the track or something. I figured that Maximum Security was just gonna, you know, leave no doubt, win the race by like 30 lengths, shit on the track, you know, maybe go out to stud with Country House's Philly or something, you know what I mean, just to rub it in, you know. But it turns out he's not even gonna run in that race, which, you know, I'm all about a silent protest. But I'm a little disappointed that we're not going to be able to see. I thought it was going to be like super intense. You know, there would have been a pretty big buildup for that, right? I'm surprised that they're not doing that. And actually, Maximum Security's handlers, which apparently handlers are just, you know, what they call rich people that own fast horses. His handlers are, they are appealing the decision. So it might not even be done yet. Might not even be done yet, you know. And this is, if you don't know anything about rich people, basically they just, you know, when something doesn't go their way, they just appeal it to whatever court, you know, like whatever court their friends belong to, or maybe their friends' friends, and then they try to just get that changed. So and they have like all these lawyers and stuff. So that's what rich people do, and it looks like that's what these rich people are trying to do. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, you know, all in all, it was a pretty good race. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the Preakness. You know, I'm all in on, you know, one thing about it is it perked my interest for the other two races, you know, so we'll see what happens. Bad weekend for Maximum Security, good weekend for my beloved Chicago Cubs. They shit all over the Cardinals' soul. Anytime, I mean, listen, it could not have been any more perfect for me. They, you know, they swept the Cardinals, and in doing so, you know, they moved into sole possession of first place ahead of them on the last day. So, I mean, you know, that's a perfect scenario for Cub fans out there. Hottest team in baseball right now, 18-6 over their last 24. Weird timing by ESPN. The power rankings came out today. The new power rankings came out today. Weird timing. The Cardinals are fourth in the power rankings, and the Cubs are fifth behind them. And that's really weird timing, considering that the Cubs just fucking, you know, basically you know, dominated them all weekend. I mean, you know, despite the Kyle Hendricks 81 pitch complete game shutout and, you know, the absolute domination yesterday, that cherry sundae that Chris Bryant put on that sucker, that cherry that he put on that thing with that grand slam to cap it off, which was beautiful, you know, despite all of that, they're still one level or one rank behind the Cardinals. That doesn't make any sense. You know, somebody dropped the ball over there. I don't know if they just let A-Rod do it. Maybe they just let A-Rod do it. And he was hammered last night, like towards the end of that broadcast. Like he had been drinking some Old Styles. You know, he had a few responsible Old Style lights. And you know what? I'm here for drunk A-Rod because he gets weird. And I'm here for it. You know, a lot of people, you know, they don't want to hear that weird shit towards the end of the game. I'm there. You know, when he starts getting weird, starts not making a lot of sense, starts saying that Javier Baez needs to get a little bit more boring and stuff like that. You know, that's you know, to me, you know, that's what I want to hear. You know, don't give me any stats. Don't give me any like baseball analytical stuff. You know, I don't need you to break down the game for me. Give me weird A-Rod all day. Maybe they just give him a computer after the Sunday night game and he puts out the rankings or something, you know, but they need to, they might need to change that process. Only bad thing you could say about the weekend series that saw the Cubs go into first place over the St. Louis, the second place St. Louis Cardinals, is the fact that Yu Darvish didn't look, you know, amazing. You could say that was a little bit of a letdown because it seemed like he was starting, you know, to pitch a little better. But I'm here to walk everybody off of the cliff, just like I did, when the Cubs got off to the bad start. So I'm here, you know, I'm your comfort podcast. I'm like a comfort dog. You know what I mean? You know, you just come over here and you know, I'm just something that you could pet on, that you can lean on. You know what I mean? Virtually pet, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Yu Darvish, he didn't look good. He's just got to stop. Listen, his stuff is still filthy, right? And his velocity is there. He just has to stretch his arm out again. He's got to get his arm stretched out because he did pitch all last year. And he hasn't really thrown a lot of, you know, he's gone over 100 pitches, I think, maybe once this year that I can recall without looking at any stats. Or got close to 100 pitches once, but listen, he still has electric stuff. Stuff is electric. He just has to stop walking people and tipping his pitches. That's it, and he'll be fine. He's got to get out of his head, and that's Yu Darvish's problem right now. But he's not going anywhere. He's going to start, you know, until his arm falls off, you know, for $126 million. But he's not that far away, so just hang in there. You know, don't pull a Frankie Borelli and do a face first off of the Barclays Center, which somebody check on that guy because the Islanders lost. But yeah, so that's it. That was the only bad thing. Other than that, great weekend for the Cubs. They're in first place. Run differential plus 51. That leads baseball despite playing the fewest amount of games. So I'm telling you, this is feelsy right now. This is feelsy for me, and this feels like 2015, and it's getting into 2016 territory. But, and I honestly think that the Cubs were maybe a little better offensively at 2015. No numbers. I'm just saying they felt hotter going into the postseason that year. So, but I'm just, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's just getting feelsy for me. The starting pitching has been lights out. I don't know what magic formula they found. You know, Q's throwing more changeups. He had another quality outing last night. You know what I mean? He, you know, ran into some trouble there in the sixth. But other than that, you know, he's pitching well. You know, he's hitting the spots. He's mixing in that changeup a little bit more. You know, it's all working right now. Hadavi, my guy Hadavi, is, and I hope I said that right, but he's, you know, he's a pitching coach for me. You know what I mean? He's already got a spot, you know, in my, you know, he's good in my book. He's already got a spot there. And I'd be remiss. Let me say this. I'd be remiss. This is the anniversary of the Carrie Wood. This is Monday. So this is the anniversary. Monday the 6th. Anniversary. Carrie Wood, 20 strikeout game. Should have been a no-hitter. Kevin Ory botched that ball. That should not have been ruled a hit. So, but other than that, let's move on. Speaking of fantasy numbers and fantasy baseball. My guy, Clint Frazier. Another one in the long line of incredible minor league draft picks that I've made in one of my fantasy baseball leagues. He comes off the injured list today. I found that out because I picked up CC Sabathia. But that's not why I'm here. But you should be aware though that he's coming off the he's coming off the IL. I want to make sure that I say that correctly. The injured list. It's not the disabled list anymore. It's the injured list. He's coming off of that bad boy. That ginger hair. You know, Clint Frazier, before it's all said and done, he might make a run at Bill Walton for the best ginger athlete of all time. But the fantasy baseball, whatever you know, Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, whatever one you belong to, just heads up there. Also, I have a, you know, if Yahoo, if you're listening, I'm just curious why Nick Senzel, which is how you pronounce it, Nick Senzel, he just came up with the Reds. Why doesn't he qualify for the outfield when it's pretty obvious that he's going to play regularly in the outfield, if not every day? You know, he only qualifies at third base, which is a problem for me because I have Vlad Guerrero Jr., you know, at third base right now. And I have to stick Senzel in my utility spot. I'd much rather stick him in an outfield spot. So, yeah, we need to fix that. We need to fix that, Yahoo. So get that message out to them. But I'm sure they will. Here's a nugget for you. Here is a Yahoo fantasy nugget. And this is just an overall nugget that maybe some of you might not realize out there. But my guy, Joey Gallo, he is the sixth best fantasy baseball player in the league right now. He is sixth, which is amazing. And you know he has power and all that stuff, right? You knew he was going to have power. He's got 11 bombs. His RBIs are up there. His walk rate is way up. His Ks are a little down, not quite as dramatic as the walk rate being up, but his Ks are down. They're still high, but they're down. But I mean, the guy is absolutely taking the next step. And if he can maintain at least a little bit of this, that guy's going to be a beast because he's got all the power. I think his weighted OBA is like 430 right now. So keep your eye on Joey Gallo. Another guy I want to talk about that not a lot of people know about, you know, and I doubt he's available anymore in any of your fantasy leagues, but somebody just to keep an eye on in case you're a gambling man, whatever you might be, a gentleman by the name of Hunter Dozier. And I thought, like, when I saw that name, he plays for the Royals, you know, I thought maybe that was like, you know, Brian Dozier's dim-witted fucking stepbrother or something like that. He's 17th ranked fantasy player right now. He DHs and he plays first base for the Royals. And I'm like, who the fuck? So I went back and I looked and he came up last year, played 100 games. You know, I ran across that name a couple times, but I didn't think anything of it. And this year, he's absolutely destroying the baseball. He's fifth in WAR. And his weighted OBA is 446. He has an OPS of 1.113. And he's even batting 343 for those of you that care about batting average. And he's got some pop. So yeah, Hunter Dozier. You keep your eye on him. I looked it up. He's like 27 or 28 years old. You know what I mean? Just came out of nowhere. That dude should be on the freaking Cardinals. Like, that dude is the white guy that comes out of nowhere that's good for the Cardinals for no reason. You know, career minor leaguer that's just good for the Cardinals for no reason. Which, by the way, really quick, Taylor Davis absolutely cardinaled the Cardinals Saturday. That was beautiful with that game-tying grand slam for the backup catcher. Yeah, it was great. And another little note, it was great to see Adam Wainwright squirm yesterday, too. It was just a beautiful weekend, glorious weekend for me all the way around. It was just, it checked a lot of boxes for me. I loved it. And the Cubs are undefeated against boring cities this year as well. So, let's move it along. Let's get into some hockey. Everybody's favorite hockey is going on right now. The playoffs are in full swing. I said it before, I'm a Blackhawks fan. However, I'm on the Blues bandwagon, and I know that's probably unpopular with most Blackhawk fans, but hear me out, and it's not a St. Louis thing. I don't particularly like anything about St. Louis. I don't like the arch. You know, city is not fun to be in. That's for sure. It's kind of like a rich man's Green Bay, but I do have loyalty with the Peoria Rivermen. I went to a lot of Peoria Rivermen games, and they are a minor league affiliate of the Blues. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm on their bandwagon. They're also playing the most awkward franchise in the history of sports, the Dallas Stars. In the last episode, I talked about why the Dallas Stars are an awkward franchise. I just leave it alone. But the Blues forced Game 7 back in St. Louis. So it looks like they have a clear path to the Western Conference Finals there. They just got to take care of business at home. Keys to winning, get pucks in deep, put pucks on net, and you got to skate. You know what I mean? And then, you know, that's the Dave Portnoy. You know, if there's anything that we can learn from Dave Portnoy, it's keys to hockey victory. And also, if I could put my own spin on it, I'm going to say look five hole. You know, and then you have to, you know, take advantage of the power play, and you have to kill power plays. So keys to winning hockey games right there. You won't get any deeper hockey analysis than myself combined with Dave Portnoy. So that's one Western Conference series right there. The other one is the Colorado Avalanche and the San Jose Sharks. The Colorado Avalanche look to stave off elimination in Game 6. A lot of good playoff action going on this week. A busy week in sports, but the Avalanche need to, you know, they need to pull out all the stops. I say they get Patrick Waugh in the house for Game 6. You know, that can't ever hurt. You know, he's probably the only Colorado Avalanche player that I can remember right now. So bring in Patrick Waugh, and, you know, that can only be good things. But, again, you got to put pucks on net, get pucks in deep, and skate. So keys to victory. The other two, let's talk about the Eastern Conference really quick. The Carolina Hurricanes swept the New York Brooklyn Islanders, which I don't know why they were calling them the Brooklyn Islanders. But anyway, they're swept. Somebody needs to check on New York Islanders psychopath fan Frankie Borelli and just make sure that he's still ticking out there. Speaking of which, I haven't really seen him on Barstool since they lost. So, you know, somebody might want to check on that guy, get a head count. And the other series, the fun series over there, the Boston Bruins versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think the last time I talked, or last time I did one of these, Columbus was up 2-0 and Boston is now up 3-2. So I could be wrong that Columbus was up 2-0. But if I'm right, that means the Boston has won 3 games in a row. If I'm wrong, then disregard that. Either way, Boston has some heavy momentum going on right now. And what better way to close it out than to go to Columbus for Game 6 and close that baby out when you have the dude from Columbus talking shit? Seemed like it went downhill as soon as that dude started talking shit, talking about Columbus was going to be louder than Boston. But listen, man. Boston, they don't even care about the second round yet. This is like the equivalent of a regular season game for every other like city out there, because they've won like 20 championships in the last 10 years. Like they're not even like the second round isn't even. Yeah, this is still they're still in the regular season. They're still in the regular season mode. You know what I'm saying? The fan base. But, you know, they go and they win this Game 6 in Columbus. You know, everybody will start to get fired up. So that's it. And again, keys to victory, pucks on net, pucks in deep, and skate. And if I might throw in, you know, you might want to look five hole, you know, might want to throw in, flying V as well. That seems to be very effective in hockey, or at least at least junior hockey. That's very effective. I don't know how it would translate to the NHL, which, by the way, let me get this off of my chest while I'm on the subject. The Mighty Ducks is the best hockey movie of all time. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion. A lot of people like Miracle on Ice. Listen, great movie that depicts a great moment in American history. I understand. I love that movie, but it's no Mighty Ducks. It's not as good as Mighty Ducks. You know, you got Gordon Bombay, the comeback story, gets a DUI, coaches up a bunch of misfit minor league hockey or little league hockey players to the championship over, the evil empire that was the Minneapolis Hawks. You need players to win. They got Adam Banks over on their side. They put in the petition. You know, they saw where that county line was. They got Adam Banks. The rest is history. The Mighty Ducks is the best hockey movie of all time. And I might even put Mighty Ducks 2 ahead of The Miracle on Ice as well. So we might be going Ducks 1 and 2 there, and then Miracle on Ice 3. I digress. And let's move on to the NBA playoffs. A lot of playoff action going on right now. A lot of great, great sports shit that's going on. You know what I mean? We have, and this is, let's just call this the rundown. Raptors, Sixers, Nuggets, Blazers, bloodbaths. Two of them. Just complete fucking bloodbaths. I mean, if you think that you can analyze that series, either one of those, more power to you. It's the Spider-Man meme. They're just looking in the mirror. Both teams. I tell you what, the Sixers winning game four in Philly was huge. That was a must win. They got it done. Kawhi, huge game. Hit a big three with 10 seconds left, I believe, and then up two. He shot it like he didn't even give a shit if it went in. And it definitely went in. And only Kawhi could probably pull that off, where he just shot it like it was like a preseason game. And, he hit it, and that was the ball game. So Toronto's going back to the six with the series tied at two. You got to believe that they're back in the driver's seat, but who knows? You know, Philly's got some weapons there, so that's going to be, it's going to be a barn burner. Should be a bloodbath. And, you're going to have Drake in the building. You're going to have Drake in the house. You know, a lot of people think he's a curse. You know, you're going to have, is he going to bring his boy Vlad Jr.? You know, is Vlad Jr., the Toronto's new favorite son, is he going to be in the house? You know, you might have Bieber in the house. You never know. Bieber's big Canadian. Bieber's a big hockey guy, but, you know, he'll ride Canadian. And I'm talking Justin Bieber, not Shane Bieber from the Indians. You know, so if I need to clear it, you know, just you're welcome for clearing that up. But back to the Nuggets Blazers, you know, we'll kind of cross coasts here, conferences here. But that's a great series. There is a lot of I like the guards in that series. I like all sets of guards, and I like the bigs. Jokic and Murray putting on one for the ages. I'll bring you a number right here. Those two guys, Jokic and Jamal Murray, are the first set of teammates. First set of teammates to score, to have a triple double, and a 30-point game. And back-to-back games. So one of them gets a triple-double. The other one gets a 30-point game. And back-to-back games. The first set of teammates to do that in the playoffs since Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1980, folks. That was a long time ago. So the Nuggets got some things going. You know what I mean? And the Blazers, you know, that was a chance to take control of that series. Big control. You know, and now we're going back to Denver 2-2. You know, I mean, you got to believe that Denver's in the driver's seat now, but it's going to be a bloodbath. Those are going to be two fun series to watch this week and keep an eye on. Then you go, let's go back to the East. Let's talk about the Bucks Celtics. I had that wrong from the beginning. After the first game, I thought the Celtics were going to walk away with it. I thought that they were the better team. I thought their talent would win out. I'm pulling a 180. The Bucks have dominated the last couple games, you know what I mean, and they have established as they are probably the better team. Maybe, I mean, I don't know, but they're up 2-1 right now. The Celtics look like they're searching for answers. They have a lot of names, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm here for the Boston show when this thing falls apart. I'm here for the Kyrie, you know, I'm here for the Kyrie, you know, sound bites when the Celtics lose. So, you know, I'm here for that. I'm here for Jason Tatum requesting a trade because he's not getting enough touches or enough shots and he wants to be a star. You know, scoring 4 and 5 points in back-to-back playoff games, you know, when you should be emerging in your second year is not a good look. It's not a good look. You know what I mean? Especially when you have a coach as good as Brad Stevens in you know, game managing and getting players in positions to be successful. Woo! Man, that almost sounded like I knew what I was talking about there for a second. But all right, let's see. I got the Bucks there. I think, you know, and listen, game four in Boston, you know, Boston needs to win that game. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't have to tell you that. You already know. But if they could tie it up and go back to Milwaukee and get back in that series, you know, then it could get interesting. You know, if you get all those talented players playing together and working towards one goal, but they didn't have any answer in game three. So it looked pretty bad at home. We'll see what happens. Next series is the Rockets and the Warriors, everybody's favorite. This was the one that everybody was looking forward to. I just want to formally apologize to the Rocket or to the Warriors for live betting them midway through the third quarter. It looks like I cost them that game. So I want to apologize to the organization and to the fan base there for that. That one's on me. Listen, it took the Rockets, you know, it took Steph Curry having it probably his worst playoff game of his career. And then James Harden going off and Eric Gordon going off and getting a lot out of Clint Capela. You know, it took and then not getting much out of Klay Thompson. It took all of that, and the Rockets still needed overtime to win that game. So, I mean, KD did his thing. You know what I mean? And, I told myself if the Rockets win that game that I'm going to root for them to win the series, even though I don't think that it's going to happen. I don't think you can count on Steph Curry to score 17 points and shoot 2 of 9 and 0 for 6 in the fourth quarter and all that stuff. Excuse me. But, you know, I'm going to pull for the Rockets now. I think part of me was like wanting to see the Warriors, you know, make history and win 3 in a row and all that, 4 out of 5 and all that stuff. But, you know, now I've tasted a little Warriors blood and I'm here for them, you know, to go all the way down. You know, I'm here for them to just fall apart. I'm here for the fall apart. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think it's probably over in 5. You know, but we'll see what happens. Draymond Green, triple-double, you know. So, I mean, you know, you could point to that and say, well, the Warriors need to win that. Warriors need to win that Draymond Green triple-double game. So, you know, this comes a must-win game 4 for the Rockets. You know, Warriors have been here before, though. So, you know, they're still that team. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. A lot of cool basketball action this week. So if you're looking for something to do, you know, on a Wednesday night, you know, or you want to, you know, if you're getting tired of enjoying this fine weather, you want to go out and hunt some morel mushrooms, you know, and you want to come back in, fry them up, and watch some good programming. You might want to tune into one of these NBA basketball games, maybe at the half. You know what I mean? What first quarter of an NBA game? It's a little rough. You know, I don't care what it is, but so there you go. And that's it. And that's really all I have to talk about. That's really it. How about my guy Daniel Jones dropping dimes, though? How about my guy Daniel Jones, the New York Giants draft pick, dropping dimes at minicamp for the Giants? And, bro, his interview, like, he was straight out of Central Casting. Like, so much coach speech, so much cliche machine. You know, like, this guy. Listen, another thing I want to point out for all the experts out there, for all the Twitter experts out there, you know, and all the online experts and Joe Budden and all these guys, right? Daniel Jones, like, this Gettman dude that drafted him has put together Super Bowl championship teams and has a history of, you know, picking, drafting, you know, developing, whatever, acquiring good quarterbacks. He knows what he's looking for. So I think I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt before I give these guys like Nick Wright, you know, and some of the guys that are slamming that pick the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it just makes sense. I don't understand people sometimes. You know, and speaking of Nick Wright, while I'm on that subject, he took a shot at Kevin Durant by saying that Kawhi is the best player in the playoffs so far. which he could be at 39 in that win. But Kevin Durant is putting together some playoffs too. He's actually probably the best player on the Warriors. But anyway, all in on Duke Shelley. Since we're talking about mini camps, all in on Duke Shelley, the Bears' sixth round cornerback pick. He's got the moxie, man. He's got the swag, you know. He's coming in to make this team. He's coming in to make an impact on this team, and he might get to play. You know, he's going to be a backup cornerback. You know, there's room in there. You know, that can be had. And, you know, if he comes in there, I mean, Buster Skrine, bro, you know, we don't know what we're getting there. You know, we don't know what we're getting there. We like Bryce Callahan. We let him go. Buster Skrine is the guy. You know, but you're always one injury away. And I like Duke Shelley. He's got a cornerback name, in my opinion. You know, he's a competitive dude. You know, he's cocky. And I'm all in. You know, I'm all in on that. One more thing from Bears minicamp, too, since I'm on this right now. Let's turn this all the way into a Chicago Bears. Let's turn this into a Chicago podcast. I feel like maybe I should, but I won't. The running back that they took from Florida Atlantic, they said that he's going to have to, you know, to make the roster, he's going to have to do some good things. He's going to have to make his presence on special teams, right? But listen, they said that he is fast, like end to end. Like he is he's got the jets. He's got the quicks. You know, he's got that freak speed. You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see, you know, put him in that return game with Cordell Patterson. That's what the Bears are doing right now, man. They really don't have, you know, just tinker here and there. Just make these little subtle moves, like put like Cordell Patterson and, you know, maybe this dude from Florida Atlantic, you know, and you get them home run hitters in the return game. And you just add a little bit to, like, how do you make a great team better? You just add a little bit like that. Those little subtle moves are good, you know, and they make a big difference, right? It's just a little things like that this front office, this coaching staff, you know, kudos to them. Just get it done. They just get it. These guys get it. So the kicking competition, too. It is with great regret that I announce that the Redford Jones era is over in Chicago. And I wanted that dude to make it so bad, man. I wanted that dude to make it so bad. I wanted that swaggy name. You know, he sounds like a renegade lawman from 1850. He had to turn in his badge a lot, and he retired to make fine whiskey. You know, but now it's over. You know, now he's going to have to, sad to see it happen. That was my guy. That was my front runner. You know, that was my horse that I wanted to see come out of that eight kicker thing. They ended up cutting everybody that was even doing it. Like, they put a lot of pressure on those guys. They gave them game pressure. You know, some of them did all right. Others wilted. You know, they made them kick. They made them all kick from 43. I think they made two of them. But regardless, all the kickers that were at minicamp, I'm pretty sure they got cut. I think Blewett and some dude named Fry are still on the roster. So we're looking at Blewett and Fry going into training camp unless they sign like a veteran to bring in for some competition, which they probably will. So what else do we got? What else? Oh, Clemson. Damn it. I just saw this morning. I didn't write his name down, you know. But they apparently have the best quarterback. The best high school quarterback recruit in like the last 20 years or something. So he's going to Clemson. So all of a sudden Clemson is a hotbed for quarterbacks, right? They have Joey Lawrence there. And this dude, when this new guy gets on campus, you know, he's going to have to sit behind Joey Lawrence. Joey Lawrence? That cannot be his name. Lawrence. Whatever the Lawrence dude. What? Wow. I'm going to have to double back on that one. But, so they say that Lawrence is the best prospect, the best NFL prospect since Peyton Manning, right? So all of a sudden, and he made Kelly Bryant transfer. Kelly Bryant was there playing some good quarterback, you know, losing to Alabama in the national championship game, you know, whatever. You know, that's nothing. That's not, you know, you can't, nothing to hang your head about. And all of a sudden you got Joey Lawrence coming in, you know. Whoa. His name can't be Joey Lawrence. I'm butchering that. But anyway, what raises a good point, though. Begs the question, when do NFL teams start tanking for that guy? Because he's got two more drafts. So the draft after next year, Lawrence is going to be in the draft pool. When do teams start tanking for him? Because that dude, like, you look up quarterback and you see a picture of him with his flowing blonde locks. So, like, if it was me, I would start tanking. Not like teams are going to start tanking this year for him, I bet. If you think about it, you know, he almost, like, he's dangerously close. Joey Lawrence. It's not Joey Lawrence, but he's dangerously close to a mullet. Lawrence. He's dangerously close to a mullet. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like he could be living in a bus down on the beach. Like Mel Gibson, who is my number one mullet of all time. Well, Billy Ray Cyrus is on a different level. Like, you can't even consider, like, he's in a league of his own, right? Billy Ray, early 90s Billy Ray Cyrus. Which, by the way, if I could just say the fucking Country Road song that just came out, right? That song sucks. I don't get it. I don't get what the big deal is. It's like, always if something's new, everybody just fucking loses their mind. Like, if they haven't heard it before, that doesn't mean it's good, for crying out loud. But he was my, early 90s, you know, he's in a league of his own. But Mel Gibson, and who makes living in a bus down by the beach look cooler than Mel Gibson? Nobody. I mean, he makes being a renegade cop living in a bus look cool. You know, he had a bed in there. I think he had a microwave. You know, he would open his beers on, like, you know, anybody that opens their beer bottles on something, like a wall, or, you know, maybe a bar or a picture, you know, just one motion. You know, that's pretty cool too. You know, that's pretty cool too. That's a guy that you look at and say, yep, you know, that guy's cool. And if he got in a bar fight, you know, he's taking out four or five people at a time. You know what I mean? And he's not afraid to incorporate a pool stick in the mayhem either. So, yeah, that's it. That is all I have for this time. But, man, what? I got into a Twitter beef. I did get into a Twitter beef this weekend. I mean, what good is a Twitter account if you're not going to get into a good Twitter fight? And I definitely got into one. By the way, you could email me at bleacherstar@gmail.com, or you could hit me up on Twitter at podcast_house. And you could also look up House Money Sports Podcast. Slide into those DMs if you want. I talked to a dude about doing another podcast too, which he said he was going to get back to me. He said he'll pass it along, get back to me. So, you know, we'll see what happens. So shout out that guy if you're listening to this, because I know he listened to the last one. So, but maybe a cool opportunity, man, if you're listening. You know, maybe you came back and you're just, you know, maybe I'm still and maybe I'm still under review and you just need one more taste. Well, here you go. But I got into a Twitter fight, and it was the stupidest thing. Man, it was like a black hole of just, like, I could not get out of it. Because everybody, if you're going to take the unpopular, so I should probably explain it. All right, since if you got the time. I was on Twitter, and I am friends with this female who I don't know. I ended up following her because I'm pretty sure she was a Cubs fan or something, or, you know, maybe I liked one of her tweets about Jesse Spano, you know, maybe starting a pill addiction during the Zach Attack era, and then really getting into it when she was, you know, maybe not developing a problem until a little bit later in life, like when she was trying to be Stansberry material. Maybe I liked a tweet about that or something. I don't know. I just completely made that up. But I'm just saying, I ended up following her for some reason. And she retweeted another woman's tweet. And that tweet was a text thread between this woman and a gentleman that she had met somewhere along the lines, right? And so I read the text thread. I click on the retweet and I read the text thread. And it's a guy who is obviously already established in the profession that this woman is trying to get in, right? So they have a relationship, a professional relationship, where he's trying to help her, maybe, and some sort of a friendly relationship, because this conversation was going on at 2 a.m. And it was a little more than just work conversation. There was a little bit extra in there, if you know what I'm saying. Like, there, it wasn't just, you know, it was a little friendly banter. You know what I mean? And I didn't look at anything in that, any of the comments under that one. But this lady went into detail, I guess, and I failed to read it, but she went into detail about how this guy was trying to help her get a job, right? And she felt offended because at some point, you know, this dude, they were talking back and forth, three or four, you know, messages back and forth about work. And then bam, this dude went straight from guns to missiles in 2 minutes because he sent the most sexual text that you could. And remember, it's 3 a.m. So he initiates the conversation about work, but then he just takes it, bam, straight there. Like, you know what? Like you could tell he got tired of it. And he's just like, listen, I'm just going to throw this out here. You know what I mean? I'm just going to lob this one in there. We'll see what happens. Well, this lady was not expecting or wanting that. So she put him on blast and she fucking screenshotted the conversation and she put it on Twitter, right? Well, the girl that I know retweets it. And I comment in the girl that I know's comments section that I'm like, hey, you know, this guy shot a shot. And, you know, you should see my Snapchat. I get shit like that happen all the time. And, okay, so I was not prepared for the responses that I got. And I'll just let you, if you want to go to Twitter and check it out, you know, you could just go to my page and look at you go to the tweet section and you could see everything that I tweeted and you'll run into it. Just click on it and you know, you could go comment for comment. It got pretty interesting. You know what I mean? Turned into a pretty good Twitter fight, if I might say so myself. But listen, it just got so twisted. Like, I don't condone harassment, but at the same time, it does go both ways. And I guess I don't know the plight of a woman that doesn't want a man sexually yet talks to him at 3 a.m. or whatever, you know. So it got pretty crazy. But anyway, wow, back to this podcast. Let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. There's really not a lot more to say. Cubs are in first place. Nick Senzel, my guy, by the way, has 2 home runs today. And Yahoo needs to get on that and make him outfield eligible. It doesn't even make sense. He's not even playing third base. Like, you think that they would be on top of this. You know what I mean? There's a lot at stake in some of these leagues. They need to get their shit together. So, what else? Is there anything else? Watch those playoffs this week. You know, And, you know, we're probably going to come back on Wednesday-ish, couple days. You know, I might break down the baseball leagues, and we'll talk a little baseball. I'm gonna talk about some teams, maybe get into some teams. You know, talk about you know, obviously we'll update, you know, the playoff races that are going on, and you know, some of those playoff series. A lot of them will be, you know, we'll have a better picture about how it's gonna turn out. A lot of good series going on, man. A lot of good series going on. That game 7, Blues and Stars, you know, in St. Louis, that's going to be, you know, I feel like home ice is the least home field advantage or home advantage that there is in sports. I could be completely wrong. Baseball, there's not a real, but I tell you what, when Wrigley gets rocking though, it's hard to say that that's not. You know what I mean? It's hard to say that baseball doesn't have much of a home field advantage at, you know, by the time the playoffs come around. It's hard, man. That place is rocking. But you know, game 7, St. Louis, you know, that's going to be a big game. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, all right, until then, y'all be good. And we'll talk to you later on this week. Bye-bye.